Hello everyone and welcome to Dice and an Extra Slice, our Bake Off review podcast,
Hell
where we talk about Bake Off.
We do.
And give our unsolicited, uninformed opinions about baking.
I'm Josh and I think this week's been inbreadable.
Ah, okay. I'm Alicia and I don't know what I would do without Bake Off.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Thank you. I had to think long and hard about that.
It's bread week, baby.
It's bread week. Bread week is iconic in Bake Off. We said this last time.
Yeah.
And it lived up to the hype in a different way than I expected.
Let me just say from the outset, distinct lack of actual bread reviewed in Bake Off this week.
It was surprisingly unbready, wasn't it?
It wasn't about the bread.
I think that's because they've done so much bread before. Not that I'd be sad to see it again, though.
I'd want to see a ciabatta technical, you know?
Oh, that's tough. Or focaccia.
Focaccia,
stick
yeah.
your fingers in that wet dough.
Hey, I made a focaccia.
You
and
did?
You can watch it on my YouTube. You can watch me making it on YouTube.
Gentle plug, straight in. I love
it. YouTube.com/Joshy Longlegs. Actually, that doesn't work, but just search for Joshy Longlegs.
So, bread week of Bake Off. We started with, okay, we're still having debates about this Sainsbury's taste the difference, cake or not cake, because nearly all of them weren't cake today, but they all kind of look like they're not real. It's all a weird
none
time.
None of them looked like cake.
They put a knife vertically down through as like a loaf of sourdough,
yeah.
Claimed that it was real sourdough, but there was no back and forth sawing motion. They just pushed the knife clean through, which makes me think that it's edited, because if you're pushing it through cake, that's how you'd push it.
Exactly. The conspiracy continues. The plot thickens. Join us next week
as we dive
deeper into the Sainsbury's Taste the Difference bread cake conspiracy.
Perfect. Flawless. So, start of this week for the signature.
No, start of this week was the intro.
Oh, of course.
Where Noel had a ciabatta with a tie on it. And he
called
said it,
Roger Crust.
Roger Crust, that was apparently a talking ciabatta.
He had a tie on, a couple of googly eyes. It's just weird. I feel like it's the only thing that Noel and Matt kind of really do now that's themselves, and I still am not a big fan.
No, I miss Mel and Sue.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So the signature, bakers this week, starting bread week off with they had to make two identical pizzas. Now, I must say, pizza is probably one of like my favourite savoury food. Fucking love a pizza.
You do love a pizza?
Yeah. And they had some very interesting options this week.
You were over the moon when America decided that pizza counted as a vegetable. One of your five a day.
There's so many vegetables on it. It's a lot of tomatoes.
They had to make identical pizzas, which is a weird thing, because no two pizzas are identical. They're sisters, not twins.
Yeah, but I think, you know, as identical as you can get.
Carol had a fucking nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
She overtopped the pizza.
Yeah, so Carol did a cake. Fuck, she didn't.
She didn't do a cake. She did a pizza, Alicia.
Carol
it's
did...
It's pizza week.
It's bread week.
Shit.
Carol did a pizza which had Gruyere cheese on it, which I love, and another type of cheese, which I didn't remember the name of because it's not a cheese I've ever had, but it was cheese heavy, and she had some kind of history as to why she made it, but it was overladen with cheese. We also must preface this by saying that this week there is no Rebs and there is no Abdul.
No Rebs,
because they're
no
both
Abdul.
Poorly.
Because they're both cowards.
Didn't want to face bread
didn't
week.
Didn't want to face bread
no.
week.
So you won't be hearing any Rebs bashing this week because she ain't there. Sandro made two beautiful pizzas. They were heart-shaped.
They were spicy.
They were spicy pizzas.
And they had camembert and honey running through the crust.
Yes, a stuffed
yes.
camembert and honey crust.
Yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely iconic. And the judges loved it and said it was great.
Yeah.
And all the flavours were really good. So well done.
Mm.
Shabira's pizza had stinky beans
it
on
did
them.
It was a stinky bean pizza.
What is a stinky bean?
Well, it's a bean that, and apparently the bean itself is not stinky. The stinky element is when you eat the bean, it makes your pee stinky.
Right.
Yeah, there was a small riff with Noel and Shavira about...
If Noel was involved, I likely tuned out.
About Paul Hollywood being given stinky pee. Spinky? Stinky wee-wee.
Right. I must say, and when Shabira opened the oven to take her pizzas out, there was the most gigantic cloud of smoke that came out of her ovens. It was huge. All the other bakers were like, what the fuck's happened?
It was like she'd set off a smoke bomb, actually. Exactly like she set off a smoke bomb.
But they were baked pretty well.
Yeah.
Kevin did an interesting
halloumi.
Pizza. It had figs on it, halloumi.
And chili,
some kind of chili jam.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which was a bit too sweet, apparently.
But
I like it conceptually.
Good flavours.
It did raise the point, though. At what point are you no longer making pizza?
I think as long as the dough is a pizza dough, then it's pizza.
But pizza dough isn't uniform.
But if you have like a Nutella pizza, it's still a pizza. It's just covered in Nutella.
Yeah, but what makes a pizza a pizza?
I think it's the dough and the shape.
Yeah, but then what's to stop you from taking focaccia and just putting it out and calling it a pizza?
Because it's a different type of dough.
To be fair, I'm now going to backpedal through my own brain. Because pizza dough's got to be really stretchy.
Yeah.
It's got to be quite a wet dough.
Yeah.
And you've got to get the bubbles.
Yeah.
And it's got to be thin. Something that Maxi wasn't able to achieve.
Maxi's were like those...
Goodfella pizzas.
Yeah. See, I was going to say the cheap ones that are like a supermarket's own brand.
It's mostly bread.
And the topping is really minimal. And you just think, this is gross.
When you went to your friend's house and their mum was like, let's have pizza. And then it's those.
And then
like,
they buy them. Yeah.
They buy those. And it's like, I appreciate what you're doing,
but I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hers were, not great, not terrible.
To be honest, there wasn't a lot of standouts. James made a Does Belong on Pizza, which was an enhanced ham and pineapple.
Yes, there was pancetta, mushrooms.
Pancetta, mushroom, pineapple. I think there was some rocket on there as well.
Yeah, some other stuff.
And that banged.
Yeah, that did really well.
No bechamel pizzas, which is a shame. I like a bechamel pizza.
And Janoush did a full English pizza.
Yes, which apparently was quite bland, but it's quite difficult to make a full English not kind of bland.
Full English is kind of bland in itself, but what was really interesting is he had like sausage and bacon and whatever, and then in the last few minutes that the pizza had in the oven, he broke an egg into the middle, and so there was like a fresh egg with still a runny yolk after they cut into the pizza.
It was a perfectly cooked egg.
Yeah.
It looked real good.
Janoush just looked very happy this week, and I love
that. He's a very happy chap.
He is a happy chap.
Speaking of pizza,
yeah,
this isn't a plug. Pizza Hut are making their mac and cheese pizza again, which is the greatest pizza ever. I implore you, if you're listening to this at the beginning of October, buy a Pizza Hut mac and cheese pizza.
Yeah, Josh and I have
also
talked,
consume it.
Josh and I have talked about this pizza to our friends before, and like, when you hear about it, it does sound too much and a bit gross.
It sounds fucking gross.
Like, we read it on the menu at Pizza Hut once on a whim, and it's like a bechamel sauce with mac and cheese, barbecue sauce dribbled over it. There's some crispy onions. There's like a garlic butter stuffed crust. Like, it's a whole thing, and it sounds like it should be awful. And we ordered it just to see how bad it was, and it changed our lives.
It changed our lives.
We have been thinking about this pizza for the last 3 years because it was a limited run.
4 years.
Yeah.
Very early on in our relationship.
Yeah. And we bonded.
We did. Trauma bonding. It might even have been 5 years ago. I don't remember. Anyway.
So there was a general, everyone kind of did okay pizzas. There was nothing too traumatic. Some of the doughs were a bit underdone. Some were a bit thin.
Dawn's was a bit shit.
Oh, she did one that was like meant to be spicy steak that she made. Like it was a Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex chili, but it was just bland.
Yeah, they didn't enjoy it. And she used the wrong kind of meat.
The meat wasn't cooked properly.
Yeah.
The sauce wasn't picante.
Yeah.
And also she kept forgetting to put the fucking cheese on when she put it in the oven, which is wild.
Also, this has got nothing to do with pizzas, but right at the start of the episode, Carol said that she was wearing her big pants this week and then called them apple catchers. And I looked at Josh and Josh just had a look on his face of, apple catchers.
Apple catchers.
So for anyone else like me, I didn't know what the fuck apple catchers meant.
They're big pants.
Apparently they're big enough pants to catch apples with.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was such an interesting turn of phrase that I had never heard of in my whole life. Never, ever.
Pano raisin.
Yep.
Technical.
And Prue immediately said to Paul Hollywood, this isn't a bread. And his comeback was, it's an enriched dough.
It is, to be fair, it is a yeasted dough.
And, it's not bread.
And I think Bread Week should be renamed to Yeast Week. I said that just to watch Alicia physically revile that
yeast
sentence.
Yeast Week. Yeast Week.
Yeast Week.
That's disgusting. I don't want to watch Yeast Week.
I do.
Basically, they had to make 12 identical pano raisin, which is not a pastry that I ever choose.
So, pano raisin, for those who aren't familiar, you make like a croissant-style dough, and then you layer... creme pâtissière. And raisins and orange zest. You swirl it up. You cut it. You cut from the swirled-up sausage, and you have them flat. So they're like...
Are they not made similar to cinnamon swirls? Is it not that same sort of pastry?
Kind of similar, but not really. It's like a croissant kind of dough.
Yeah.
So you make like an enriched bread dough, and then you laminate layers of butter between it.
So now, basically you lay it flat, you put flat bits of butter on it, and then you fold pastry on top, and then you put more flat bits of butter. That's what you mean when you say laminating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You fold it, you cool it, you take it out, you fold it, you cool it, and you keep doing it like that.
Kevin wanted to put his butter in the microwave and heat it up to activate the yeast, and then suddenly he read the instructions that said to chill it in a fridge, and he immediately knew that he was wrong.
Kevin's a fucking lunatic.
He's a rogue agent.
It's a really interesting thing to make because crème pâte, every baker should be able to make crème pâte. But
what is crème pâte?
It's basically like a custard. Ooh. So it's flour, egg, vanilla, a cornflour, egg, vanilla, milk.
Huh. Well, Kevin's was like oozing out of his. When he cut his up into little rolls, his rolls were like wet and oozing. Mm. It seemed like everyone kind of got it. I think judges were looking for like lamentation and...
Lamination.
There we go.
Not lamentation, because that's when you're thinking
that's
sadly.
That's when you lament something, yeah. Everyone, they were meant to be identical. A lot of them weren't identical. And Paul specifically said no tails.
No tails.
So when you roll it up, you need to make sure that you've not got that little extra bit of pastry sticking off the bottom.
You hide the end of it so you don't end up with something that you don't end up with something that looks like a comma or a speech mark. You get a full stop.
Yeah, a big circle.
And it just wasn't achieved. Lots of variation. Some of them underproofed. Some of them, the butter leaked out during the baking.
Yeah, a lot of people had leaky butter.
Which I will say, now, on the sort of pastry that, or the sort of baked good that it's based on. Mm-hmm. I made croissant once. Mm-hmm. Really fucking difficult.
Yeah.
And absolutely not worth the time or the effort.
No, especially when you can buy... And like, you can buy the ones that are make your own and that they come in a tube and you open up and you kind of
and
just...
And you roll them up. But what's the point? Out. Just buy pre-baked ones.
Yeah. It was very nice that you made croissants for me, but my God.
It was a lot of effort.
It was a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to put icing on at the end. And some people, like Sandro seemed to think that icing... was like you put a dollop in the middle and then it oozes around it. Some people were like piping it in diagonal lines. Carol had this huge icing bag. And I mean, she was icing the thickest lines on top of hers and went, oh, am I going to run out of icing? Like, yes, Carol, you fucking are.
It's supposed to be a drizzle of icing, I mean, not a fucking deluge.
For me, I love icing. I would love to have a full layer of icing on my pastries. But watching this, even I knew that that was an incorrect choice. So coming up bottom, unfortunately, was Dear Carol. Underbaked, too much icing, not great flavour, not great look, weren't even. And Kevin was seventh, which was surprising because he fucked that quite hard. He was surprised that he wasn't last.
He should have been last, really.
Yeah. A lot of middlies kind of people coming in here and there. Second place went to Lovely Maxie.
Lovely Maxie.
She had good flavour. They're all relatively evenly sized.
Yeah.
And first place... Janusz.
Janusz's were basically perfect.
Yeah, they loved the flavour. They had the tails tucked in so neatly.
Yeah, and this is the thing about this week's technical, is that really, it was a lot of shit. Like, Maxie was second, but I think that was only because somebody had to be second.
Oh no, see, I think everyone did a relatively good job. Because I think that that kind of pastry dough is hard to get all the lamination.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the nation's greatest baking competition.
Are there any others?
Yeah. They're little county show ones and things like that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which brings us neatly...
Oh, God.
...to the worst showstopper.
The worst showstopper I've ever had to sit through.
Actually, we're being like inconsiderate to other cultures and things and, you know, people who like monster foods.
I don't think it's inconsiderate. People have different tastes and I fully appreciate that this wasn't the worst showstopper because everyone did a terrible job. Not the case at all. It was just the worst thing for me as a person to sit through because I'm a fussy eater on a good day. And boy howdy, what they had to make just made my skin crawl a little bit.
A smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord, yes.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah. It is a Swedish celebratory thing. And basically, friends, it has to look like a cake, but it is a sandwich.
It's basically a savoury cake. You've got layers of bread, which can be flavoured, with filling in between.
Sandwich fillings.
Yeah.
And then savoury decorations on top.
Yep.
I think if they'd have done sandwich fillings like, you know, peanut butter or just more sandwichy things, but all of them went real heavy on the fish.
Well, there was a lot of salmon. They leaned into traditional Swedish...
I appreciate that. Like, doesn't mean I want to have salmon and mackerel and other gross fish stuff. I'm not even super against fish.
I wouldn't want a three fish savoury cake.
Anchovies in one of them.
Yeah.
There was a lot. It was interesting watching them put it together. And I think the fact that they were using like mayonnaises as icings and like cream cheeses. And not like a cream cheese frosting. It was a lot of just like smearing white sauce around a sandwich to make it look like a cake that just made me feel a bit unwell.
Yeah, you had really visceral reactions to it.
Yeah, it wasn't a good time.
It was making your brain unhappy, and I think it's because it was a textural thing.
Oh, it's just all the flavours.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah. No, thank you. Right, so coming up first was the most spectacular.
Was the best, yeah.
Janoush.
Yeah, Janoush.
Janoush went very British this week. We had a full English pizza.
Yeah.
And for his schmergestorte, he did fish and chips.
Yeah, fish and chips and schmergestorte.
He made little like crisp chip things.
He basically made crisps.
Yeah, and he put mushy peas in there, fish, and like the sandwich cake was surrounded with an icing that was like a curry sauce.
Stop calling it icing.
But he called it icing.
Yeah, but it's not icing.
But they called it icing.
I know, but it's not icing.
But it was, because it went round the edge and the top.
But it just upsets me when you call it icing, because my brain is now going, icing sugar
sweet
and
curry.
Because sweet curry is a thing. Sweet curry is pretty good.
Yeah, but not for this.
But not for this. But
it looked great.
It looked fantastic.
He had the little fish and chip forks stuck in the top.
He had a little spritzer for vinegar,
yeah,
like between the layers.
Spritz some vinegar in there.
And Paul and Prue said it tasted like fish and chips. It was a fish and chip experience. Prue was unhappy about it going into it.
Yeah, she thought it sounded awful.
She didn't like it conceptually at all.
Didn't want to eat it. No. And then it was delicious.
It was delicious. And it was served on top of like a little cone made of fake newspaper.
He had a little pattern of peas on the top. It was very, very pretty.
And like really lovely rosettes of this criminal curry icing.
Mm-hmm.
With the little fish and chip forks sticking at the top. Brilliant. Really, really good.
Carol's was called Something Fishy.
Yep.
Smörgåstårta.
Terrible name for something.
It looked like a cake from the 60s, which I kept saying to Josh was something I just had a poor reaction to.
Very, very Fanny Craddock. I wouldn't have been surprised if you'd cut it open and it was filled with like stuff suspended in aspic.
Yeah, lots of flowers on top and like that kind of pale pink, pale green icing sauce thing. Mm. I think they enjoyed it. It wasn't the best. I think they said her bread was a bit off.
Bread was a bit off.
But the flavour was
just
good.
Loads of fucking fish.
It was a lot of fish. James.
Oh, James's schmergestorte.
It was panda-tastic.
He had pandas on it.
Oh, he made like little bread roll pandas that were sitting on top.
I think he had two kinds of bread going on in there. He had a marble bread.
No. So James had bread that had been like marinated in squid ink.
Well, no, it wasn't marinated. It had squid ink.
Yeah.
Construction.
Either way, he had some kind of delicious Chinesey pork flavours inside.
Chasui.
There we go. It was so... It looked
like a Chinese meal.
That was the only one that I thought I would try that.
A succulent Chinese meal.
Yeah. And Prue said the pandas.
The pandas were delightful. They're very cute.
They
very
pulled
fluffy
apart.
Bread. They did pull apart, which was sad. One less panda in the wild.
It was very, very good, though. They enjoyed it a lot. Oh, Kevin.
Kev. Because Finn.
He decorated, it was a two-tiered sandwich cake with kind of decorations around the edge of baby sweet corn and asparagus and long-stem broccoli.
Which had all been roasted and looked a bit sad.
It kind of had gone brown and was just hanging off a bit.
It looked like it had been in the shop window for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
But at the very top, he'd made a little man out of cucumber and a tomato,
other vegetables,
holding a little fishing rod which had a little carrot fish on the end of it, which was the highlight of his schmergestorte.
Yeah, they said that his was quirky but didn't taste great.
Yeah,
and was kind of it was.
Yeah,
you know,
mediocre.
Yeah, absolutely. Maxie's was all over the fucking shop. Like it was just so much going on.
Maxie's was visually difficult.
Also, can I just say, the amount of people that chose fish, fair enough. There was also a lot of egg in with the fish.
Yeah.
And avocado in with the fish, which for me, it just...
Well, salmon and avocado is like a thing.
That I understand. Why is there egg?
Well, egg mayonnaise and fish is a thing as well.
Oh, no, thank you.
Like most fish pies have got egg in.
Was it? I think it might have been Maxie's that had deviled eggs in.
Did have, I think it was. But Maxie, of course, so this is a Swedish dish, Maxie being Swedish, expecting great things, disappointed, but did make two breads.
Yeah, made two breads. They said the breads were really good and it was flavoured nicely. It was just a bit messy. She'd kind of just piled everything on top.
Which brings me to bread week as a whole. This bread week has not been about the bread.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
There's been very little commentary on the actual bread.
Yeah, and I miss just them making a good bread, like a good loaf.
Yeah.
I want to know about the crumb. I want to know about the crust.
I want them... I just want it to be simpler.
Yeah.
I don't mind that they explore different things in the showstopper.
Absolutely.
That's fine. But you've got to make the technical or even the...
Signature.
The technical or the signature have just got to be, like, about the craft.
Yeah.
The craft of bread making. And if bread week, the most amount of bread is going to be in the in the showstopper.
Yeah.
Right? But they didn't really focus on or talk about the bread.
Because it was like a cake. The bread was so sandwiched between such heavy fillings that you couldn't really say much about the bread.
And we can't talk about the bread much. I bet there must have been some interesting bread things going on.
They didn't show much of it.
But they didn't show much of it.
No, we didn't see any of it. Yeah, Bread Week wasn't very bready.
It wasn't. And the joy of certainly old Bake Off was that the drama came in the minutiae of it and how just kind of mundane it was. And it's like, oh.
And also like how easy it is to fuck up a like standard loaf of bread, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like making bread isn't as easy as you think. So much is down to proving the temperatures in the tent, the not preheating your oven, Maxi.
Max didn't preheat her oven for the pizzas.
Yeah, she thought it was preheating and it wasn't, so she had time waste. Shabira, however, Shabira Showstopper was beautiful.
That was a...
It had, like, cucumber spiraled on the top and, like,
She made
the
nasi lemak one, didn't she? Oh. Which is like a Malaysian curry.
She'd, like, made flowers out of vegetables on the top.
It was so gorgeous. Little tiny, they looked like quail's eggs that had been poached on top.
Yeah.
And it was just filled with, like, spiced chicken.
Lots of Malaysian flavours.
And, yeah, just loads of really... good strong flavors.
They loved it.
No fish.
No, and they loved it.
They did.
They
love
thought
it.
It was delicious.
And it, you know, I mean, it's still a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Sandro came in with just like a meat feast. There was like.
Yeah, he was going for like a barbecue,
Joes,
barbecue Tex-Mex, Americana
steak
vibe.
Thing. It was all heavy on the meat.
Heavy on the barbecue
Apparently
sauce.
Apparently, it was delicious, but the barbecue sauce kind of took away all of the flavors of all of the meat. But like, it was well made and it was very tasty. But. You know, the barbecue was the overpowering force.
Yeah.
And then Dawn's. Dawn's was kind of classic and very sweet. It definitely looked the most like a cake.
Well, Dawn's wasn't classic because she made was it a chicken souvlaki?
Yeah.
Souvlaki? Dawn made a chicken souvlaki one, which is Greek. So souvlaki is like a Greek dish.
Yeah, Dawn made a Greek dish without using a lot of the Greek ingredients.
Without using... just any of the Greek steak. She didn't use coriander, didn't use sesame.
Do you know what? I do admire Dawn, though, because as someone who is also a fussy eater, I don't like things like coriander as well. And if I'm baking something, I want to bake something that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, but then why call it the thing that it's not?
Because just because you don't use some of the ingredients doesn't mean it's not the thing.
So here's the thing. If I made... I need to think of something that has...
It's like how I make carbonara. I use those packet things and you say it's not real carbonara.
Yeah, you know what? That's the perfect example. Whenever anyone makes a carbonara with cream and no egg or cheese or black pepper and like ham, you're not making carbonara. You're making like a creamy pasta.
But it is a carbonara.
No, carbonara is eggs and...
Traditionally.
And a hard cheese. Yeah, but this is the thing, right? You can call something what it is. At what point does it stop being that thing?
I don't know.
I made this dish. I just replaced the tomatoes with oranges, the onion with apple, the carrot with pears.
Look.
And something else with cucumber. What you've got there is a fruit salad. You've not got a ragu.
Look, I'm fully on the team of if you don't like something, just take it out. Make something that is good for you to eat.
Absolutely. Take it out. Make something good for you to eat. Don't call it the thing that it's not.
But if that is the closest thing, then that's what people will kind of be able to go,
this
is like carbonara.
Add inspired. Or something like that. Don't call it a souvlaki cake if you're not making something that's like souvlaki.
But it was. It had all the other stuff. It just didn't have coriander.
It just didn't have any of the flavours. Didn't have any of the flavours.
But it had everything else.
I've made a Christmas pudding without the raisins, the rum, or the spice.
Perfect. Sounds like a better Christmas pudding.
What you've got there is a steamed pudding. That's not a Christmas pudding.
Look, we're just going to disagree.
We're going to have to...
I admire Dawn for making something that she enjoyed she would eat.
Again, let me restate. Nothing wrong with making something you enjoy. There is something wrong with making something that you enjoy and labelling it as something that it isn't.
We just have to realise that Josh is a food... What's it called when you want everything to be exactly as it is?
No, I'm not a purist.
Yeah, you sound like a few purists.
I'm not a purist.
That's how you're coming across.
I'm not, but what I'm saying is, if you call something, it has to be that thing. If I said, I've brought you a puppy and actually it's a rabbit, that's not a fucking puppy, that's a rabbit.
Yeah, but also recipes change. You know, just because one person makes it one way doesn't mean that's the correct way.
I know, but there's traditions to these things. I'm realising that I might be more autistic than I think I am.
Josh is a purist. That's what we've learned.
I'm not a fucking purist.
Starting to sound that way. So the showstopper had a big mix of things. It was just really hard to watch them smearing mayonnaise on these things that were meant to be cakes. It was just viscerally quite a difficult thing to watch. But I admire them all for doing such a good job. Like, they all did very well.
Not a single one of them gagged.
No. And, I have the good job this week.
You do.
So I have the pleasure of announcing our star baker this week. It was a close call up in the top three. We had Shabira, we had Yanoush, and we had Sandra as well, because they'd all had a really strong week.
Yeah.
But coming out on top was... Yanoush!
Again.
He smashed it. He had a really good showstopper, a really good signature, and did pretty good in the technical.
And the thing about...
Wait, did he win the technical? He did. He won the technical as well. Technical, he smashed it.
And
great
the
week.
The thing about Yanoush... It's never good to be star baker quite so early on. He's star baker in the first week.
Yeah.
Star baker in the third week.
We don't want the curse of Jürgen.
So the Jürgen curse, or Jürgen. Just the curse of being the star baker, is an issue. But Yanoush seems to be fairly consistent.
Yeah, and he's not...
He just has to make sure that his creativity doesn't get in the way of his abilities.
Yeah, I think normally the star baker curse is that someone starts a competition incredibly... better than everyone else, and then as everyone gets better, they stay at the same level. Whereas Yanoush seems to be at everyone's level, but just odd weeks, he just does a couple of things to put him above the rest.
I reckon Yanoush will make it to, at the very least, the quarterfinals.
Yeah, easily. Yanoush is great.
If he doesn't, fix.
And that means Josh, you've got the sad job this week.
I've got the shitty job. And, you know, it's been a difficult week to judge, because everyone did sort of... Similarly, there were some low points.
There was easily some people in the bottom this week.
Maxi didn't do great. Carol didn't do great. Dawn didn't do great.
I mean, it wasn't Maxi, it was Kevin.
Kevin also...
didn't have a good week.
Didn't have a good week. But the baker who will be leaving the tent this week is...
Nobody.
Nobody! Nobody's going home
this week because Rebs and Abdul were sick.
Yeah.
I think they're cowards.
The judges fairly thought that since there were two bakers out and because everyone was kind of on similar par, that it wasn't fair for anyone to go home, which I think is good, because when they said Rebs and Abdul were out, I thought, what a wonderful way to get out of the week that you know that you're bad at and kind of bypass it.
Yeah.
But no. There's still the same amount of people you're coming back into.
Yeah. Which means that we now run the risk of a double elim any week, upping the tension.
Especially since I thought that Rebs would be the next to go. I was like, how dare she not be here this week?
Yeah.
But yeah, double elimination coming up at some point in Bake Off. But you know what's coming up next?
What's coming up next?
Mexican week. Okay, this is one of the weirdest things to say, but I fucking love Mexican food. I also can't deal with spicy food. But I love Mexican food and flavors. It just has to be non-spicy, which I know is a contrast, but I don't care. I'm so pumped for Mexican week. I can't wait to see what they do.
I normally give a whistle-stop tour of what's to come next week. I haven't got a fucking clue. I couldn't work out any of it. But it's just, you know, it's going to be a fun week.
It's going to be a great week. Yeah. So... tune in to Bake Off Tuesdays or watch it on Catch Up like we do. You can tune into our normal podcast.
That's in a Slice, the only D&D 5e podcast powered by Baked Goods.
Yeah, we like to bring baked goods with us.
You can find us on social media.
Yeah.
Alicia, what do they have to search to find that?
Dice and a Slice.
Oh, how do you spell that?
D-I-C-E-N-A-S-L-I-C-E.
Oh, thank you so much. That's D-I-C-E-N-A-S-L-I-C-E.
No, it's D-I-C-E-N-A-S-L-I-C-E. Oh, wait, hang on. That's what you said.
I got really confused.
We should be kids presenters.
We should. I've been me.
And I've also been him. The look of fear in Josh's face. Shout out to my microphone, which did not smack me in the head this week. I'm still recovering. Yeah. Have a good week, friends.
And try the new Pizza Hut mac and cheese pizza. If enough of us buy it and generates demand, it can stay around forever.
Woo! Bye.